have come along.
It's a little inspirational, and it's a little, I like that. It's a little, kick in the feet, make let's do something about it, right? So that's what I want to talk to you about, is being a disciple and doing what God wants you to do, leaving the old life behind and pursuing Christ for what it is. So if we, first off, if we take the scripture John 10:10, I think everybody knows it by heart, the thief, help me out, the thief cometh only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Now that is the essence of what the enemy wants to do and the essence of what God wants to do in your life. How many of you want to live in the abundance of Christ? I counted 1, 2, 3, 4. Now hands are straight. Yes, I want to live in the abundance of Christ. Okay. Living on the other side, as the first part, is the rough side, where the enemy wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. And guys, we have to take this. This is real. This is a battleground. And either you can become a casualty of war, or you are going to become a victorious enemy. Okay? And it's all about the plan of the fight. If you proceed just to go in and think, hey, I'm just going to walk in here and I'm going to defeat the enemy, you better have all guns ready to go. Because if you go to do battle in your underwear, you're in trouble. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Word talks about putting on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, letting your loins be girded about with truth. Come on now. Having the shield of what? Faith and the sword of the what? Okay, so that is complete battleground, ready to go. Complete and battled armor, so that you can go and fight the enemy. So often what happens is we become complacent in our walk and we have been lulled asleep, and when it comes time to do battle, we're caught unaware. And when we're caught unaware, that is when things happen. When we become lackadaisical, that's when things happen. When we don't put on the complete armor of God, the enemy is, let me tell you something, he's been around a while, a whole lot longer than you have, and he's sneaky. He's watching the eye gate. He's watching the ear gate. He's watching to see what grabs your attention, turns your head, grabs your eye. And then he's going to use that. Okay? He's not omnipresent, so don't think that he's going to like it. He's watching you to see where your weakest link is, and that's where he's going to attack. If you go back and you look at the Old Testament, you see that a lot of times the Philistines, you'll see whatever it was, whatever the adversary was, they came in from the rear, okay? They came in from the rear, and they attacked the young, the old, and the sick, and the lame. That's where they came in. You ever wondered why that's where they came? Because it was a psychological advantage if they could come in and wipe out all of these, because the warriors, they were, oh no. I just lost my kid, I just lost my wife, dad, he was sick, Now it's a psychological advantage. Let me tell you, the enemy wants to use psychological advantage to come against you, to wear you out, where you get sick. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready in and out of season. Be ready in and out of season. Because you just really don't know when you're going to come. The Bible calls him like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. Often called him light or warning. No, he's definitely not. I heard one person say it like this, that when Jesus died, in that in-between moment, that Jesus went into the gates of hell and knocked the thief on the neck. And so when the devil, the like the roaring lion. It gets all ready. He gets all ready to puff up and he gets ready to roar, right? That it comes out totally different than what you expect. It comes out more like, it's being able to transition into the warrior that God wants you to be. And in that warrior, in that battle, how do you think? There's so many things to do in preparation for it. So today, I'm not going to be an evangelist and I'm not going to be a pastor. What I'm going to be today is a coach. Have you ever played a sport before? You had a coach. Now, a coach says a couple of things. A coach will encourage you, right? Come on, you can do it. And sometimes that coach can get right in your face. And he's going to tell you where the rubber meets the road. But there's a purpose in it. There's a purpose in that coaching aspect to belittle you. No. If he gets in your face, it's not to belittle you, but it's to make you better. So that you can win. Okay? That's what the coach says. He coaches you not to lose, but he coaches you to win the game. Now, I know everybody in this house is a Dallas Cowboys fan, amen? Come on, wave at me. Wave at me. If you're shaking your head, we'll pray for you for deliverance. There was a coach for the Dallas Cowboys. His name was Tom Landry. Tom Landry was I'm going to tell you honestly, he was a man of God. His business was business, family was family, and he was a great man. He was a great man. He brought fame to the Dallas Cowboys in all those glory years. 20-plus years, they went to the playoffs. And that's a coach. Okay? That's a coach. There were a lot of great players that were there. And if you remember back in the day, one of the greatest quarterbacks was number 12, Roger Dodger, right? A military guy. Went to Vietnam, did his stuff, fought, did all the things that he did, and then came back, you know, and played football. And the coaching aspect of what Tom Landry was able to do to get that team over and over and over again in the playoffs to start out. So I am here to coach you in the playoffs. What makes you a great disciple? What makes you a great disciple? Well, first thing is this, is that you following Christ. You following Christ. Now, let's look at that. If we look at what Christ did and the people that followed him, and if we look at the apostles and we look at the disciples, what were their characteristics? Okay. What were the characteristics of Matthew? You know, what were the characteristics of Peter or John? And what were they doing that made them so great that even into the very end, until death came to them, okay, they stood the cause. They stood for something. What was it so great? It's because they had contact. And when you've had that contact with the Maker, I truly believe that there's no way you can ever go back. I truly believe that. And take, for instance, let's take Peter. Okay. First off, Peter's original name was what? Simon, okay? Simon was a what? Fisherman, all right? So he was very acquainted on how to use his hands, obviously. If you've ever worked nets and fishing, you know, man, that's a rough job, okay? Most fishermen, most sailors, they're pretty loud mouth. Come on now, any Navy guys in here? All right? You know, they're pretty rough, okay? Rough around the edges. Yeah, here's Andrew, his brother, walking down the way, meets Jesus. Something initially happens. Says, hey, wait a minute, you got to come meet my brother. I think Andrew was saying, man, my brother, if anybody can help my brother Jesus, you can, because he needs all the help he can get, okay? So this guy really and truly was a knucklehead in a lot of ways. And if you watch his actions, you see that he fell madly in love with Christ and that he was willing to give up anything. But yet when it came right down to the end and Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times, and he says, oh, no, I won't. What happened? He did. There are first thing off about being a disciple of Christ, and if I'm coaching you, is that you got to be in ministry. You can't play. You've got to be in a ministry. Galatians 2 and 20, if we'll pop that up on the screen, I want you to look at this one. Galatians 2 and 20. If you have 212, can we put up 220? Okay, then let's go to 220, all right? Because I gave the actual wrong scripture earlier. So 220 says this. And let me pull it up. If you already have it on your phone, or your scripture, you can read them. I have it here. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Let's break that down real quick. I have been crucified. That means that I am dead. That is not a pretty subject, is it? In fact, today, you guys are going to think I'm one shit fellow, but I was driving down the road, and on the side of the road was an animal. And inside this bag is something that you probably kind of think of twice. So if you will please just grab the bag. There's something in there, is there not? Okay. Now, it's tied for a reason. Why is it tied? Death stinks, right? Right? And the longer that death prevails and is not taken care of, the worse it stinks, correct? All right? And I know this is gross, but I want you to get this image. That's nasty. Right? Some of you don't believe me. You want me to open it? Oh, come on. Here, we'll start to open it right now. Now, Mark, you help me with this. This was a dog, right? Are you sure? It was pretty. You want to help me? He's like, yeah, it's right on, right? Yeah. You know, I have been out in the country, like, way out, like in Louisiana. Anybody here from Louisiana? Yeah, right around your area. And that when roadkill happens soon, that you could actually take roadkill home and eat it. Huh? No? So, well, I'm going to leave it for you. I'm going to leave it. Okay. So, this is going to leave it. It's dead, right? Dead to the old way. Now, there's no dog. That's what I want you to think about this. Your old self, and as nasty as what you exist to, okay? And as a disciple of Christ, we lead to all things to Christ. All things are new. So our old self, when we are crucified with Christ, the old self is gone. It's no longer. Okay? And we leave it behind, pursuing the goal. I run the race that I might win the excellency and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm not staying back here. With the old, I am going new. The whole story of Bartimaeus, the blind man. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, Bartimaeus was there. He got up. He took off his cloak, the thing that he was all wrapped in, threw it aside, and came to Jesus. There is a truly moment in time when you are leaving your old self behind and moving forward. You are showing action. This is a verb, people. Christianity is a verb. Discipleship is a verb because it shows action. And if you're not in action, then you are not moving. Therefore, if you're not moving, you're stale. And if you're stale, you might as well be called lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, the Bible says that he will spew you. Now, we get technical with that. Anybody know what that word spew means? You're like, Mr. Reader, you're talking about, or Coach Reader, you're talking about dead stuff, nasty, and now you're talking about food, vomit. He was see you out of it. So as a coach, I'm telling you right now, wake up, let's get some things done. If you plan to win, okay, and if you want to be on the team, then you got to make some things happen. You got to move, fellas. You got to move. You got to be prepared. How many of you want to be on the starting line, or how many of you guys want to set the bench? Oh, my goodness. Setting the bench is no fun. Because everybody out there is making it happen, and what are you doing? You're setting the bench. And you're watching. As a disciple of Christ, you're in the middle of the game, friends. You're moving. You're making things happen. Come on, let's look at this again. My phone's popping up here. I apologize for that. We got it on the screen. My old self has been crucified with Christ. And it's, look at that. It is no longer I who live. So no longer am I living for myself. That I want. Come on, man. You're going to change. How many of you got 10 toes? You don't have to answer that out loud. Right? Right? I'm about to step on about 8 or 9. So get ready. Right? It is no longer I who live. So what we are doing is now we are transforming the mind. Self-want. Self-need. I want this. I want that. Okay? Now we have to think, living that this mind be transformed every day by the renewing of it, that our mind might be like Christ Jesus. What would Christ want? If I'm no longer living for me, then I need to be living for Christ, acting like Christ, doing what Christ would do. Right? If I'm playing football and I'm going out onto the game field, I'm not taking my baseball glove. There might be a problem. If I am going to play soccer, okay, I'm not going out there with helmet on, shoulder pads, okay? However, I've watched some of those Mexican soccer games, and maybe you might have needed some of that stuff. I mean, that was some serious stuff. But it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And I am transformed by the renewing of my spirit, by the renewing of my mind. Therefore, I am not thinking for me any longer, but I am thinking about Christ and Christ who lives in me and those that surround me. I have asked Christ for his mindset, for his actions. Did we not? I mean, for many of you, you walk down that old country aisle. Did you not in church? Come on, right? Maybe it was somewhere else, but you made a commitment. You said, Lord, I will carry the cross. Right? And for many of you, right then and there, you picked up that cross as a disciple. And you began to carry that cross. But the minute it got heavy, right? And so now you can dance around. And some of you have been in church a long time, and you know the lingo of church. I mean, you can raise your hand, right? You know how to talk. You know how to make it happen. But the minute you leave, you go right back to that stuff and nothing but a facade. Okay? As a team, as a body of Christ, you have a job to do. We are the body of Christ. So there are different things that we do. Some of us are thinkers. Some of us are hands-on. Some of us are the muscle in the group. Okay? Every one of us has a different gift. And my gift is not necessarily your gift. My gift is a mouth. This thing won't stop. I can't help it. I'm talking, and I'm talking, and it can't shut up. You ever had that? A runoff of the mouth. And anytime I get arrested, I think that I have to dominate the conversation. And my wife looks at me and says, and I'm like, yeah. You know? And I keep going, and I keep pushing, because I want to encourage people. I mean, this is my gift, is to do this. For a lot of you, if you were to come up here and speak, you'd be scared to death. Technical term called glossophobia, about 80+% of the entire world has had it. That's a fear of public speaking. But I crave it. I like it. I want to do it. I mean, some of you guys are carpenters, and you are great carpenters. I mean, that's what you do. And if I tell you, well, we need California corners on the north, south, east, and west, you're like, oh, I got that. That's no problem. Everybody else in here is like, what's a California corner? Right? Some of you are great in other areas. Some of you are great lifters for pumpkins. I mean, you can shovel pumpkins so fast, and it's coming up quick, isn't it? Right? And they're going to need every hand. So here's a great thing, you pumpkin movers, you, right? Call all your nieces, your nephews, your grandkids, and say, hey, we're going to have fun. We're going to the pumpkin fest. You don't have to tell them we're unloading the pumpkin truck for the pumpkin fest, but this is what we're going to do. You know, it can be so much. So much that it's no longer you. It's not about you any longer, but it's about him. And it's about others. The world of Christ. Are you with me today? Am I over your head? I think we're on eye level of the chosen people, right? Okay. But Christ lives in me, and if Christ is living in me, then the abundance of Christ is coming to your life. If Christ lives in me, then the abundance of Christ comes out of me. If Christ is in me, then his abundance comes. In other words, this is where it goes. That abundance that's flowing from him to me is going to be good. I look for opportunities to get them. Not necessarily financially, not necessarily physically. Not necessarily in all the different ways, but it could be one, it could be many, it could be all at once. Christ is looking for an obedient vessel, and if you're living, you are that obedient vessel. And it's like this, I spoke last night across town for a big hunter who sat about this, and we were talking about Christ. And I said, this is it. So many guys ask Christ to come into the heart and into their life, but then they set him up inside. And this is what I have to tell you. Amen. Amen. When people see you, they see Jesus Christ in you, working for you. And it's not about you. It's not about name or recognition. It's about being faithful. Faithful is who you call it, who you actually do. In other words, as Christ is faithful to you, and is Christ never unfaithful? Is Christ ever unfaithful? He's not. So he will be faithful to you no matter what. Even in the rough times, even when you're flat, broken, you're going, how in the world? He's still faithful. He's still faithful. Maybe we need to go back a little bit and you look at that and you go, maybe I wasn't so faithful with what I was supposed to do. How many of you would like to be rich beyond recognition? Right? Right? Okay. Rich beyond recognition. And give me life to Christ. I didn't say rich financially, did I? Rich beyond recognition. So when people see me, they see Christ. And if you remember, Christ, I don't think he was very difficult for him to go to cars and do these things. He didn't have any issues doing this or doing that. He didn't have any issues at all. Rich beyond recognition. So when people see me, they see Jesus in me. I'm rich. I'm rich because my dad's got it all. And it just so happens that the Bible is Christ. I believe we are called joint heirs with Jesus. And if we are joint heirs with Jesus, I'm getting chills off the preachers coming out. Somebody help me now. If we are joint heirs with Jesus, that means, Cindy, that we are royalty. You are a princess. You are a princess. And all the wealth of the world, and all the wealth of the universe, you are royalty. Now, royalty, do they go around with these gigantic rings on? They're not. I mean, you don't see that. Royalty people, they already know they got it. And they don't have to flaunt it. If you catch it, when you know that Christ lives in you, and you know that there's power in you, you walk with your head up high. You're not defeated. You're not a defeated coach. Christ lives in you. And when you walk, the ground literally shakes. Because everywhere that Christ has put you, things happen. I mean, look at it. Wherever he went, people were being healed. People were being touched. Demonic influences were coming out of the woodwork to try to distract him, to try to hinder him, to try to stop him. Any of that been happening lately to you? Right? To try to bind you, to try to stop you. Come on now. I mean, look at it. So Jesus steps off, right? He steps off the boat into the country of the Gadarenes, Gerasenes, and the first person to meet him, okay, was this demonic man, and just for namesake, his name Ed. So here's crazy Ed, who's got a hair this big, a beard this big, stark-raking naked, and comes to meet Jesus. Okay? And over different things, different places, you know, these demonic would come. And they tried to cause confusion. And Jesus pulled out that spiritual 12-gauge shotgun. Honestly, he pulled it out. And he just, I with the finger of God, do what? Cast out devils. Now we're security. And this is kind of a neat thing that I started not too long ago. Is that after with the knowledge that I had in this area, I wanted to be able to do this. So I went to the state, and I decided to get my license in security, okay? So I did all the stuff to make that happen so I could do state security. And in that, as well, then I also got my license as a personal protection as a bodyguard. And so I teach self-defense at San Francisco and American Center, which is where so I teach to do classes. And so that nurses can come in. I've had all kinds of ladies come in with domestic violence issues. Right? I'm able to give them something that they can fight back with. Right? And so as your coach, I want to give you something that you can fight back with. Are you ready for this? Here we go. Ready? It's the Bible. The more that you read in the Word, the more you will obtain the knowledge of God, and that knowledge of God will transfer into power, and that power goes straight against the enemy. And when you open your mouth, or when you walk as a disciple of Christ in the ground shakes, friend, let me tell you, all hell knows that you're coming. So take it with a smile on your face when you come up against resistance. Take it with a smile on your face when things seem to be going wrong. Because God is trusting that you're going to throw it away. Because let me tell you, people around you are looking. And the way you act and the way you react, they're going to look at you and go, or they're going to go, Right? So as a man or woman of God, as a disciple of God, that is following who is living, and then you see this love for, so I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So here I am. My actions dictate to others on who's inside of me. My actions will either promote him, okay, or they promote me, or they promote him. I asked my dad this question. I said, Dad, with all the things that are going on, do you trust? I mean, it's a valid question. Who do you trust? And he says, Matt, I'll look at it like this. He goes, we know that the enemy is out to destroy us, but we can't trust him. We know that God himself will always be there, always be faithful. And people are simple. They're this way one minute, and another says, so don't put your trust in the enemy, or don't put your trust in me. But put your eyes upon who he made it. Because he has everything he can do. And so, knowing that, knowing that, and knowing that in our lives we are going to come up with this alternative, but knowing that Christ has already overcome those things, that gives us an encouragement to say, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to fear this. I don't have to fear what's coming about. I don't have to fear what the enemy's about to throw at me, because I am a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, and where he goes, I follow, and he's going to take care of whatever it is. I just have to trust and see that he is here. Are you listening? All right, so here we go. We're going to wrap all this up. Human humanity is fearful about taking those initial steps. And it's all about change. People are afraid of change. And Mark, I remember coming in here when we were teenagers, and the carpet was red, and we had all these windows that were all in, and it was comfortable. But then change began to happen. And change is not always easy, because a lot of you like the other. And it was nice. It was where you came to when Pastor Nolan was here. And it was easy. But as time goes, change happens. And change is going to happen with or without you. It's going to happen. All right? I can remember when I was 22 years old. Now I'm 48. I don't heal up like I used to. And when I teach these self-defense classes and these ladies are throwing me and tossing me on the ground, I don't get up as quick as I used to. Okay? When my boys, now 18 and 22, when we go onto the mat and we're fighting and doing MMA work in this so that I can help work with it, I don't heal like I used to. I try to stay away from that 22-year-old because he hits like a ton of bricks. All right? So, not only being older means, it's also means being wiser, choosing your battles a little bit better. And so, as change happens, you know, we become fearful of those things that we are going to get left behind, technology change, and don't worry about technology, brother. Don't worry, it's going to change 10 minutes from now, so as soon as you learn it, it's already going to change. I quit trying to keep up with it, and what I do is this, is I go to my 18-year-old Austin, and I say, Austin, tell me how this thing works. He shows me two or three things, because that's all I can handle, because four or five things, and I'm already lost, okay? So he shows me that, and then I learn from that, and then guess what? A year later, the iPhone X is no longer valid. It's already gone, so I gave up. But fear is a true thing. And fear will do one of two things. Fear can do this. One, it can so confine you into a box that you become an act-like figure. And so you are in confinement. You are no longer free. If you are confined to fear, it's like ineffective. Or fear can do this to you. Fear can motivate you to do above and beyond. So we know that the enemy's going to come after you. Started off with John 10. We know that he's coming at you. But in preparation and knowing that, I'm going to be ready for him. And when he comes at me, I'm going to fight him through the word. Okay? So when his fear comes at me, I'm going to let a spiritual awakening take place inside of me. And I'm going to do as Jesus did in that time when he was being tempted in every way known to man, in the fasting aspect of those 40 days. He was being hammered again and again and again. You can have this, you can have that, whatever you want, I will give to you. The enemy was so. Now, that kind of cracked me up at first because Jesus already had it all anyway, and now the enemy said, hey, look, I'll give you what's already yours. I don't think you got that. It's already moved. So when you look at fear, you just laugh at fear. It's already moved. And if I die, I just get to where I'm going to. Because I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that neither if nor what. It doesn't matter because I know where the power is. I am plugged into the source. And that source is and generates through you. Think about that. That's the new power. The same power that raised him from the dead. The same power that raised him from the dead. He knows how to use that to make it to the dead. Think about it. Think about what you can do as a disciple of Christ. So I go all the way back to when you started first talking about him at the very end of Jesus' life. So that he would not do anything to say. He asked that he would preach to him. He said, he didn't want any time people going to get him to teach by that Christ. No. Nothing to distract him from the Lord. Nothing to clear away. But he was talking about him. He was talking about him. Looking about Peter. Peter did some incredible things. I mean, come on, your shadow just going across somebody and their heel? I think that's pretty stinking cool, right? Come on, right? You think about that. The power, the glory, the investment that he gave into Christ, the time. Can you imagine the enemy throwing up to Peter and the people? And over again. I mean, come on, we've been down that road. You know, life. Life is not just the idols. You know, we heard this song, life is a bumpy road, brother. It's not always going to be easy. And sometimes we get things that we have no idea that will come. Sometimes we lose family, and sometimes we get a disease. Sometimes we have all these things. But life is never easy. We weren't promised the same way it has, that we can just skip them down. You know? And so many times, people do it. I had this one girl. She looked at me. All you Christians, you all are just alive. I said, wait a minute. I said, we're all human. We do things. Okay? We're all human. We're going to do things. So don't cut all your judgment and think that because I'm a human and I stump my toe, okay, and I grab my mouth hopping around, okay, that all of a sudden now I'm some kind of crazy. I'm a human too. Right? And you're not always going to score the touchdown. You're not always going to get handed the ball to make the touchdown. And you're not always going to hit the home run. I was telling Cindy last night, I played college baseball. And we were playing at the University of Miami down in Florida. And it was the dream scenario that every kid hopes for. I was up to bat. We had a guy on first. We got on third. We were down by one. It was the bottom of the ninth. This was the dream. Here it is. Two outs. All I needed was a base hit. That's it. That's it. All I needed was a base hit. So I'm in the batter's box. I'm ready. I mean, Mark knows I played baseball ever since I was this big. The first pitch comes and I read it. Whack! Knocked it out of the park. But it was crap. I mean, it was just like this far. If it could have been on that side of the pole, we would have won. We would have won. The next pitch comes. Whack! And I pulled it completely other side, over the wall it went. And I'm like, yes! And it's foul ball to me. But what does that mean? 2012. Two strikes. Right? Well, when you are that amped up, sometimes things happen and you wish that it wouldn't happen. So this pitcher throws a slider. And what a slider means is this ball comes in and it just drops. About 6 inches in front of the plate. I didn't say behind the plate, I said in front of the plate. Obviously it's a ball, right? Right? Guess what I did? I was so amped up. What does that mean? Three strikes. I'm out. Game over. I lost. Fear is really neutral. And that first initial part of overcoming that fear will help you for the next part. And the next part. Don't let fear continue. And Isaiah talks about this. I was taken to you. God has given me to speak to you and speak to you. For my old self has been teaching, no longer am I a new man, but I know him from what he teaches. He may have been my teacher. He said, That's it. As a coach, you got a mission. Here's the game plan I just gave it to you. You're something incredible. Make a difference. Because we're about to go out here, we got a huge game. This game is, and the enemy's out there, and they're ready. The crowds are chanting. You got imps on one side, and we got angels on the other. And they're waiting to see what you're going to do. So, are you ready, team? Ready to take them? Ready to take them? So, here's your game plan. You're going to fight. You're going to fight hard. You're not going to give up. You're going to keep pushing. You're not going to take no for an answer. And when they come at you and hit you in the mouth, you're going to hit them hard. You're going to back up, and then you're going to go. You're going to go. You're going to go. You're not going to stop. You're going to make it, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And if nobody can, you can. So when everybody comes against you, you stand strong and say, I'm a child of God. I've got this. We're going across the line. Amen? Give God glory. Give Him a clap off. Amen. I'm done. That's it. You got the mission in mind. Make it happen. Out here on the table, there's a couple of things I want to show you real quick, and then we'll let this go. We just got back from 1,680 miles on a bicycle. We rode from Canada all the way to Mexico, promoting veteran awareness and veteran suicide. 22 soldiers commit suicide every day. This year, 25. We have a t-shirt back there, and the t-shirt is our campaign, The Fight to Finish, and for the guys to complete. And then on the front, it has the art of Trinity, that's the Leader Foundation, the Trinity of Day. Then also what I have is a really cool, now I make these myself, we call these our PTSD bracelets. It is a lava rock, we're going to use the bag for the day, back in the back. By using frankincense and myrrh into the lava rock, I thought the frankincense and myrrh was calling in the, if you remember, that's what they used to cover the smell and the body that breaks the PTSD cycle. I have a couple of really cool stickers. The kids really like these. It's a Leader Foundation emblem and the RF Trinity. You guys are like me, they have you got this. Take cash, check, credit card, all that stuff. If you want to donate by credit card, you can do that too. Mark, Jimmy, I love you guys. Thanks for allowing me to be with you guys today. Church, you're awesome. Bless you. Yeah.
It's good to have Matt, Levin, and Jamie, and Bobby, and family, and it's very awesome to have this close relationship with them. This morning, gravity was good. I'm going to bless Matt, and so I think I'm going to have the ushers. We'll just take probably this right here and just set it by the door, and maybe just an offering or plate on there if you'd like to give to them. And then that would be a tremendous blessing. We want to bless him for ministering for us today and for all that he does. Because he's starting this week, he's going to go and travel the rivers of Missouri with a bunch of veterans. And something we're going to find, but his reality is that he knows that he's there to disciple and pour into these guys' lives. And so to have that access and to be searching, continually relying on the Holy Spirit for that opportunity is huge, and so be praying for him this week. I think God's doing some really cool things. I want to share just this real quick, and I know we're kind of running a little late, but that's okay. Yesterday, I was sitting on my porch and just going through kind of perusing Facebook and seeing what was sort of good in the hype of what's going on, and and his veteran went through and was talking about the experiences that they had being a part of a Marine unit, being a part of the warrior ethos, and that teamwork and all those kinds of things. And then his statement was basically, and then I don't know, like this. So basically, when I got out, then I don't experience that in life. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, man, it sounds sad, but I just can't let this guy get away with it. So I said this. I understand what you're saying. But here's what I found in Christ. I found that I have origin. I found that I have purpose. I found that I have meaning. And I found that I have a destiny. And I said, and that's the most important thing I've ever had in America. So I'm not sure exactly what he's done, but this is the reality, and this is what matters back to us today. Talking about discipleship, and that's why I think what we're doing right now, as we've been talking about this series, Great to Be a Disciple, on the heels of this idea of recalibrating or getting deeper into God, what God has done for us, I think it's important because we have a treasure. And that is what Christ has done for us. And if we don't take on that responsibility that Matt has fixed us up today, to be that disciple, then we can affect change not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Can you say amen? Thank you for the clear lesson to address to God. Thanks for waiting for speaking into our lives. We thank you for Matt Lover. We thank you for the foundation that our members have done. We ask that you continue to bless them. We pray that there will be just some huge opportunities over this next week for them. And what I pray that you'll be with us. And when I look up to you, the pumpkin patch that's coming, where it's not just about pumpkins, Lord, it's about community. And it's about reaching the community, Lord. So we look forward to that. Pray that you'd open up some amazing doors, some amazing testimonies. And I ask that you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.